Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
There are towns in our United States with some really funny names, really odd names. I'm sure you've come across some of them. For example, there is Accident, Maryland. There is Chicken, Alaska. There is Cut and Shoot, Texas. We couldn't expect anything else from Texas. Embarrass, Minnesota. Experiment, Georgia. I hope it worked out for them. Frankenstein, Missouri. Now here's a sad one. It's called I'm Alone, Wisconsin. This morning, we're going to look at another small town which was very insignificant. When you look at the history of the world and even the history of the Bible, it was very insignificant. Compared to a Jerusalem or Athens or Rome, this little town had no claim to fame except David, the king, was from this town. The town is Bethlehem. And it's a reminder that God uses even those insignificant places to bring a very significant gift into this world. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Where is the Messiah going to be born? So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." It was not random. It was not accidental that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. This was prophesied. What was the prophecy? Verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The passage we just read has so many things that we can focus on. There are so many messages in just this one chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew. For our time's sake, I would like to focus just on the significance of this little town of Bethlehem. It was the location that was prophesied 800 years before the coming of Jesus. 800 years before the coming of the Messiah. And it fulfilled. Listen to verse 1 again. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea." Now, there's a reason why Matthew specifies Bethlehem of Judea. Because there is another Bethlehem to the north. What is the point? The point is this. The Bible is not a fictitious book made up by the church to control the masses. There are a lot of young people here this morning. You've been to colleges. You've heard professors get up and say things like, "The Bible is just a propaganda tool. The Bible has been used by the church to control the ignorant peoples. Those who need some kind of a support system in life, it's good for them. But it's filled with errors. It is filled with historical mistakes." Not true. I want you to understand very carefully that when you hear someone say that, you're looking at a person who hasn't done their homework. You see, Matthew, and not just Matthew, but writers throughout the Bible, they put these historical details to remind us that the Bible is the Word of God. It is true. You can trust it. It is not some myth and mythology. So what happens next? I just want to make that point and move on. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, And their question was, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, king of the Jews, meaning the son of David, the wise men did not even know what they were asking for. If they were Persians, they didn't understand all those things, but they said something very significant. They were saying, where is this person that has been promised and prophesied to the Jewish people? Now, what was the reaction in Jerusalem? If you look at verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he asked them, where is Christ to be born? So they said to him, where? In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, for you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So when Herod got his religious teachers together, he asked them that question, where is this one? And they said, no secret, it is in Bethlehem of Judea. It is in Bethlehem, that's only 5-6 miles from here. By the way, this was not a secret. We find that as well in John chapter 7, verse 40. It says, therefore, many from the crowd said, truly this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Galilee was to the north. Judea was to the south. Jesus came down from Galilee, preaching and teaching the gospel. And their question was, isn't the Messiah supposed to come from the south? But Jesus is a Galilean? See, the people knew that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea in the south. So listen to what it says. Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? The reason these people were saying that is because 800 years earlier, the prophet Micah had already prophesied that Jesus was going to come from Bethlehem of Judea. Now, who was Micah? Let me talk about Micah for a second, and then I will move along. Micah was a younger contemporary of Isaiah the prophet. Micah preached to the southern kingdom of Judah. He was a prophet to them. And just like Isaiah, if you remember last weekend, he warned the people that it was foolish what they had done. They had asked Assyria to the north. If some of you may remember that last weekend, how King Ahaz had called for help from Assyria to fight against the northern kingdom. And Isaiah told them that's a dumb decision. Because once Assyria is done destroying the north, they're going to come after you. Micah is saying the same thing to them. You have made a foolish decision. You have called Assyria. Once Assyria comes down, destroys Syria, and then Israel, they're coming after Judah. And what's going to happen? They will destroy Jerusalem. They will destroy your entire country. And just the way Isaiah and Micah had prophesied, it happened. The Assyrians came down, destroyed Syria first, then they destroyed Israel, the northern kingdom, and kept on coming. In fact, I want you to hear what Micah says in chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to this. He says, hear this. You heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Listen to what he says then. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. You know, anytime you turn to someone or something other than God for help, just know this, They always have an ulterior purpose. It's only God who says, I will help you and I won't take advantage of you. When Ahaz called the Assyrians to come and help him, he didn't realize the Assyrians, once they were done dealing with Ahaz's enemies, they're coming after Ahaz. And they will destroy everything. And just the way God promised and prophesied and warned through Micah, they did. Now, isn't it amazing that in the midst of God's wrath, there is mercy? Even in the midst of his judgment, there is hope. So I want you to see what it says in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. God says, but you, Bethlehem. You know, the Assyrian army is sitting outside of Jerusalem when Micah is saying these words. The Assyrian army is ready to go in and destroy Jerusalem when Micah is saying these words. But he said, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrata. Ephrata means another name for Bethlehem, an ancient name for Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrata, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel. It's like this. God is saying, you call down the Assyrians, they're here. You already saw what damage they've done. Now they're about to destroy you as well. But I tell you what, there's little hope in the town of Bethlehem. There's little hope in this little insignificant town of Bethlehem, because through this town is coming someone. And who is this someone? Listen to how Micah describes it. Out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forths are from old of everlasting. That's a horrible translation. A better translation would be whose origins are from of old, which means he has no beginning, he has no end. Isn't that amazing? 800 years before the coming of Christ, he has already been prophesied. He is coming. He is coming through the house of David, through the town of Bethlehem, which means he will be a human being. He is not a ghost. He is not an angel. He is not a spirit. He will be flesh and blood human being from the town of David. But he has no genealogy. Whose origins are from old, which means he has no beginning, he has no end. He is eternal. Listen to verse 3. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. I can imagine the first listeners to Micah's prophecy going, We don't get it. How is this going to help us? The Assyrians are at the gates, and you're talking about some guys coming out of Bethlehem. What's that got to do with us? The Assyrians are waiting to destroy us. We've seen what they've done to Samaria. We've seen what they've done to Israel. Israel was a northern kingdom. We've seen what they did to Syria. And you're talking about somebody's coming out of Bethlehem who has no beginning. And that some woman is going to give birth. Listen to what it says. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. What did God do for them? If you read 2 Kings chapter 19, King Hezekiah was the king, Ahaz's son. He went and he literally laid down on his face in the temple. Have you all read that passage? He laid down. Sometimes it is good for you when you're going through a rough time, when you're going through a difficult situation, financial, relational, physical, get on your face before God. He said, God, I am a nobody, I'm nothing, help. What did God do? He said, okay, I'll help you. You know, that night, the angel of the Lord went through the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 people. The next morning when people woke up, there were corpses everywhere. The Assyrian army was defeated miraculously by God, and Jerusalem was spared. Isn't that amazing that even in God's judgment, God's wrath, there is mercy? I mean, don't you do that with your children? You get upset with them and you get on to them and you tell them, let me tell you what's going to happen. And you do this and this is the concept. But then you stop and say, but don't forget, I love you. I love you. What God is doing to them is saying, the Assyrians are here, they're ready to destroy you, but I love you. I'm going to spare you. It's a beautiful thing to remember that even when we mess up, God is still merciful to us. And by the way, mercy has a name, and that is Jesus Christ. Don't ever think that mercy is, oh, God has given me my job back, God has helped me with my health, and God has helped me with relation. No, mercy has a name, and that is Jesus Christ. Some of y'all are more confused than you were 5 minutes ago. He said, what does this have to do with the Messiah, the Assyrians and King Ahaz and Hezekiah? How does this all fit in? Because when God gave this prophecy through Micah, the down payment was that he saved them from the Assyrians, but the full fulfillment was still to come. The down payment was the Assyrian army is defeated, but the true fulfillment is still waiting. What is the true fulfillment? 800 years later, a young girl in a town called Nazareth had a visit from the angel that she will conceive of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, I don't know if y'all are listening or not, but there's a little problem here. Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem. Where is Bethlehem? In the south, in Judea. Where is Mary living at this time? In the north, in Nazareth. Where is Joseph living at this time? In the north, in Nazareth. Wrong people. Something is not right with this picture. Can y'all at least agree on that? If somebody says, the Messiah is going to be born in Charleston, South Carolina, through so-and-so, Mary and Joseph, but they're living up in Washington, D.C., you're going, I don't think that's the one. Everything else lines up. The family, Mary and Joseph are of the lineage of David. The timing, the manner, she's a virgin, she's never been with a man. But the location, they're up north. Have you ever wondered why Mary and Joseph were so confused, going, this doesn't work. We should be in Bethlehem if we're the ones. Have you ever wondered why Joseph wanted to secretly divorce her? Because he's going, yeah, right, Messiah, but we live in Nazareth. This is supposed to be in Bethlehem. It's common knowledge. Micah talks about it. Let me back up for a second. Nazareth of Galilee, which is in the north, up until about 1800s, people didn't believe that this town even existed. And then they found some inscriptions and they realized there is a town called Nazareth. It was populated by maybe 250 to 300 people. That's it. And who were these people? Well, archaeology helps us again. These people were descendants of David. Some of them were even from the priestly lineage. They were from the town of Bethlehem. But some reason they moved up north. People say, what is the reason they moved up north? Maybe it's because of jobs. You know, a lot of building was going on up to the north. The Romans were building away. And what did Joseph do? He was a carpenter. Maybe because of employment, they moved to the north. Somebody else said, no, it's not really employment. They were afraid of the Herodians, King Herod, wanting to kill everybody all the time. So they said, let's just get out of here. So they moved to the north, and they started a community. And they named the community Nazareth after the word netzer. You know what the word netzer means? It means branch. It means a shoot. You know what a shoot is? When you see a plant, looks like everything else around it is drying up, but there's a green shoot that begins to come. You go, there's life. They named themselves the Netzer, from which the word Nazareth comes, because Isaiah 11 verse 1 said, there shall come forth a shoot, a green sprout from the stem of Jesse. Who was Jesse? David, the king's dad. So they went up north, and they started this settlement, a very small settlement, and called themselves the Sprout of Jesse. And in the right time, God sent his angel and said, Mary, it's time for you to conceive of the Holy Spirit. There's a problem. That's up north. You got to go south. Now, I can just imagine, this is kind of a imagination, don't look for it in the Bible. I can imagine Gabriel going to God the Father and saying, you know, the prophecy is they got to be in Bethlehem to the south. But didn't know if you knew that. Since you know everything, maybe, you know, you got so much on your mind, that couple is to the north. You keep sending us to the north. Y'all still with me? You keep sending us to the north, but, you know, it's Bethlehem. Just wanted to remind you. A couple days later, you know, Gabriel comes again and says, I don't want to be in a pushy or anything. Do you want us to kind of airdrop them into Bethlehem? I mean, we can make it happen. It will be so fast they won't even know it. Because, I mean, the prophecy. Just you're God and everything, but just want to make sure you knew Micah 5. You know, you said Bethlehem. I can imagine a junior angel coming up and saying, we can send a heavy wind from the east and the west, move the entire town of Nazareth to the south, right smack into Bethlehem. I mean, we can solve the problem. I can imagine God saying, you know, boys, that's the reason why I'm God. I already initiated my plan about 100 years ago, and there's a king, the emperor of Rome, who calls himself Caesar Augustus. You know what Augustus means? It means God, as great as God. He said there is this emperor who thinks he is God, that he is controlling the world, and he is building things and pleasing people and raising his army with 28 legion soldiers. Each legion has 5,000. He's got to feed them, so he's about to do something really interesting. He needs money. So what do you do when you need money? What does the government do? Raise the taxes. But how can you raise the taxes if you don't know who the people are and where they live? We got to have a census. So this is what this emperor is going to do. He is going to declare a census in the entire world. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us, but Luke tells us in chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass. Folks, nothing came to pass. God supernaturally, providentially, sovereignly put it into the mind of a pagan emperor to do this. I'm going somewhere with this. Many of us are so frustrated, stressed out at times, what's happening in the world, and what's going to happen, and how this is going to, don't worry about it, God is still God. He is still in charge. If he can work out a plan to move a couple up in the north, down to the south, through the emperor of Rome, he can take care of what else is happening in this world. So Caesar Augustus, listen to what happens. That a decree went out from him that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. And don't you love it the way God solves problems? Don't you love the way God has solved problems in your life? Don't you love the way what you thought was a problem, what you thought was a complicated situation, there is no way out, God turned it together for good. You know, that's what he does. What does the Bible say in Romans 8:28? For all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You know, folks, there is no room for regret in the Christian life. There is no room for bitterness. I can imagine when it first happened, Joseph and Mary must have said, this is not the time that I need to travel. How many ladies would love to get on top of a donkey and go 2 days, 3 days, 4 days while you are, you know, about to give birth? But God in his sovereignty, God in his providence made it happen. It goes to tell us that man's interruption is God's providence. Human disruption is still divine arrangement. There is no room for frustration. There is no room for bitterness in the Christian life. And the rest is history, if you would. They come down. And the Bible says, Luke talks about, there was no room. Now, sometimes people say there was no room in the inn, as if they're going and knocking on hotel rooms. There's Motel 7. The light's on, but there's no room. Go by, the Howard Johnson's. Oh, no room. Now, the reason Joseph is down in the south in Bethlehem is because he owns land. More than likely, that was Joseph's house. But back in those days, the houses were not like we have them today. Especially for middle class and lower middle class people, which means this, more than likely there were 2 rooms at the most in that house and about 20 people. How many ladies would love to have a baby in front of 20 people watching you? There was no room in the house. Not that there was no room in the hotel. And then they found a manger. And Jesus was born. Are you struggling with some situation, some decision someone has made? Have you been handed a bad deal? Do you feel insignificant? Don't lose heart. God is still in control. There's an application there. But there's something more, which is far more important. Jesus is God's promised one. He is the only one. The family of his birth, the timing of his birth, the manner of his birth, and even the location of his birth was prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus Christ. When I hear someone say, you know, Jesus is not the only way. There are many ways to God. There are many ways because every religion has its own way. And every religion has its own book. I know at that point I'm talking to somebody who hasn't done their homework. I know at that point I'm talking to somebody who hasn't taken the time to put the Bible next to these religions and say, let's see how this measures up. Because when you do, you realize very quickly the truth of the Bible, the truth about Jesus Christ, there is no comparison.